Hey, everybody, this is Everett, producer of The Scalpel. In the most recent episode, Dr. Rose pulled back the veil on the data dump that happened last week after a FOIA request for emails from Anthony Fauci regarding COVID-19. There's a lot of incredible information that was mined from this dump, from the origin of COVID-19 to the manipulation of the story to the lies that we've been told to hide intention. It is a very complex arrangement, but when Dr. Rose connects the dots, it all becomes very clear. Today, in this special presentation, Dr. Rose is a guest on The Charlie Kirk Show.
The Scalpel with Dr. Keith Rose.
Cutting down to the truth through history and experience, The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bone's Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge. Email kfr@scalpeledge.com or the website scalpeledge.com.
The next episode of The Scalpel starts now.
Hey, everybody. Today on The Charlie Kirk Show, Dr. Keith Rose. I'm also joined by producer Andrew. We go into it all. The man who's running our government that you should know by name, the vaccine, Dr. Fauci, EcoHealth Alliance. Dr. Keith Rose was on our show early and predicted correctly what this was all about. So where does it go from here? Should you get the vaccine? Who's behind it? What is the motive? This episode is going to open your eyes, send it to your friends, and make sure you are subscribed. It is brought to you advertiser free this Saturday by those of you that support us, charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, it's tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. I, producer Andrew, co-hosting with me.
Hello, hello.
And with us is a friend of mine, Dr. Keith Rose. Many of you have heard him before on The Charlie Kirk Show podcast. He also has his own podcast called The Scalpel with Keith Rose. Keith was right on Fauci before anybody else. He was right on hydroxychloroquine. He was right on the virus. And he said it publicly and directly on the show. And when you predict things early, You gain a lot of respect in my eyes. So, Keith, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thanks, Charlie. Good to be here.
So, Dr. Rose, for our audience, why don't you walk through a little bit of what's going on here with Fauci, with Ron Klain, with the vaccine? The floor is yours.
Sure, Charlie. There were several small groups that were trying to get emails, little known groups, and people can look them up on the internet. They got a smattering of emails from different people in Dr. Fauci's orbit. And we saw these early on in the beginning of the 2020, even late 2019. But it wasn't until this email dump that we really see the picture all coming together, what some of us knew and some of us thought. What you're seeing right now is you're seeing clear-cut example of Dr. Fauci, what we call prepping the battle space, getting everything ready for this pandemic, how they were going to message it, how they were going to put the message out. One of the biggest things that Dr. Fauci was concerned about in early February, late January, was how they were going to tie the coronavirus to a natural zoonotic spread coming from an animal. And Dr. Fauci got together with a lot of people and was very specific on how they should tie that together. You can see it in his emails, and you can also see it not only in his emails. I think, Charlie, what's just as important is what's not shown in these emails, what's blanked out. Because there was one email in particular, and it was set up because someone wanted, I believe at the Aspen Institute, wanted two speakers on the coronavirus. Now, this is early February, and this is before we even said it was a pandemic. This is before, really, in America, anyone was concerned about it. And the two speakers they wanted at the Aspen Institute was Ron Klain and Anthony Fauci.
So tell people who Ron Klain is, because he's not getting as much coverage as he should.
Ron Klain should be, there should be a spotlight on Ron Klain that would make the sun blush.
He's the chief of staff to the White
House. Chief of staff for Joe Biden. He's been with Joe Biden a long time. And the interesting thing is Ron Klain was very briefly the Ebola czar back when Ebola hit during the Obama administration. He came in on the backside of that. I don't think he was an Ebola czar for over, 30 to 60 days. He really had nothing to do with Ebola. And I mean, there's some video out there where he kind of makes some offhand comments about how he didn't really have anything to do with it. Yet, in these emails released, and I sent one to your producer, Ron Klain is said to have anxiously, or he wants to be in this meeting coming up. So why would President Biden's chief of staff want to be in a meeting in February of 2020? Now, President Biden wasn't president then. He was citizen Biden then. And yet you have that email in front of you. You can see Ron Klain's holding his schedule. This is a very important guy. This is a guy that has been in politics his entire life in the bubble inside the Beltway. And he wants to be at this meeting.
I'm looking at this email right now. So just so everyone understands, the Aspen Institute is the think tank for the ruling class. The Aspen Institute.
One of them.
Yeah, it's not your normal type of think tank. It is. I've actually been there. And you feel like you're going into a museum. It's very lavishly built. It's right near the Aspen Pines, right near Red Mountain, if anyone knows Aspen geography. Extraordinarily expensive real estate. Anyway, that's just a side note. And it kind of plays into this whole idea that they're the most powerful people in the world. We're cooking something up. So what was the date of this? This was February 3rd. And so yeah, 2020. What are we getting at here? That Ron Klain knew this was going to be a big deal before, that the current chief of staff to Joe Biden was working with Fauci? What are we getting at here?
Well, what I'm getting at is Ron Klain, that's the only time I really see him mentioned in these emails. Now, Charlie, this morning I downloaded all the emails into a collator that I have and was searching by name. So when you look up Ron Klain, that's the only time I could really find his full name up here. However, if you look up Ron, you get about 2,337 Rons, whether they're a Chiron, a Ron, and a message. But I went through them this morning. And you see right after this, you see where they're calling, closely after this, they're calling a teleconference. And they have a lot of the people's emails for that teleconference blocked out. But they also leave in the body of that how important it is for Ron's notes. Now, I don't know another Ron, and why are his notes blocked out? I mean, a full page and a half of his notes are blocked out during this time period. This teleconference was between, I believe, Dr. Fauci. And interesting enough, I looked up several of the people that they showed the names on this teleconference. And I believe this teleconference was into February, early March. And Charlie, right after this teleconference, several people that were in that email started to publish articles on the origins of the coronavirus and how there was no question that it came from a wet market or it came from an animal, that it did not come from human to human transmission. And they knew at that time it was completely incorrect. In fact, there's one email that I just found fascinating where I believe Anthony Fauci was emailing his chief of staff or vice versa. And they were talking about Tedros, the head of the World Health Organization, and whether or not, and you can look at the specific wording, they said they were in conclave, they were in secret meetings, Tedros was, and they wanted to know if he was actually going to be deceptive and lie or not. And so they needed to know how to, quote, prepare for that. That's in one of those emails. So this is, you know, this is all during February, early March, where everybody's kind of, I would say for simplicity's sake, everyone's trying to get their story straight. They're going to lay out a narrative.
All right. So Keith, you have an email that you've unearthed from this, these FOIA requests that is directly from Peter Daszak. Why don't you tell our audience who Peter Daszak is? We've talked about him on this show. Actually, when Charlie was on and I was guest hosting, I specifically talked about Peter Daszak. He's looped into way too much of this. He was actually the only American representative on the initial for the initial WHO investigation on the origins of the COVID virus. And he was out there very publicly saying this was a conspiracy theory, but he was directly getting money from the NIAID and others, right? So he had a conflict of interest, and then he shows up in a big way in these emails. Explain what you're about to show us.
Peter Daszak, the best, is a very interesting person. He really didn't even come on the scene, or he didn't even get to America until 2001. The only way he got here is his wife had a job, and he came along because she had a visa. And he started working at the bottom of an organization called Eco Health Alliance. But at the time, I believe it was more of a wildlife, not conservatory, but more of a certain type of organization, which wasn't tied to health, but was tied to more nature, animal protection, things like that. And he rose up meteorically through the ranks. And we really don't know why. If you listen to his interview that I sent you, he's very obtuse or opaque about his education. He doesn't like to talk about it a lot because his education doesn't really match to what he's doing right now. It has a little bit to do with zoonosis, but nothing to do with how he's pushing forward this policy. But currently, Peter Daszak is the president of Eco Health Alliance, kind of an unknown past where he comes up. They have office buildings. Charlie, you talked about Aspen in downtown, in Midtown Manhattan.
Aspen
is where Eco Health Alliance is.
Oh, Eco Health Alliance, yeah.
Offices in Midtown Manhattan. He's very proud of that. He's the head of it, and he talks about, and I sent you those cuts, but he talks about how they are now tying health with climate change because it gets people attention and you can direct it more. You can actually make people pay attention when you tie climate change to health. And I believe I sent you that clip.
Yep. Yeah, let's go ahead and play that clip.
One of the things we've been trying to do is we work a lot on the underlying causes of pandemics, deforestation, climate change, wildlife hunting. That's our conservation side as well. Mm-hmm. So we go to foundations and say, look, you've been trying to stop the wildlife trade in China for 20 years. You've put all this money into it. If you have a health angle to that, it really does work. Mm-hmm. The markets, the wildlife markets in China were never closed down because of, you know, ethical concerns or mm-hmm. conservation. But the minute SARS emerged, they closed them down.
Right.
So that's
right.
The argument we use. And we're trying to put the health in conservation.
I see.
So what do you see from that, Keith?
What he's trying to do is they're trying to say that the pandemic, if you played that on, he would say that when you go in to build in a forest, you're building a village and you're cutting down trees, you can have these exotic viruses transferred to the people that are actually working in these forests and that they come from animals. And this is something that Peter Daszak has tried to push a very long time. You can go back if you go to the Eco Health website. And it's fascinating. And you look back at the articles that are written, all of these articles try to tie a zoonotic jump from coronavirus and other viruses to humans. The problem is none of the actual research done, especially the specialized research on the genome, support this. And Peter Daszak wrote Fauci on April 18th. Well, and the top of the email is Fauci says to him, many thanks for your kind note. The note that Peter Daszak sent him said, as the PI of the R01 grant publicly targeted by Fox News reporters at the presidential press briefing last night, I just wanted to say a personal thank you on behalf of our staff and collaborators for publicly standing up and stating that the scientific evidence supports a natural origin for COVID-19 from a bat to human spillover. not a release from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Then it has a blinked out area that we don't know what he says. And it ends with, from my perspective, your comments are brave and coming from your trusted voice will help dispel the myths spun around the virus origins. And he ends with, once this pandemic's over, I look forward to thanking you in person and let you know how important your comments are to all of us. I don't know who us are. I mean, he's basically thanking Fauci for backing what we know right now is an absolute lie, that this is a man-made virus. It never came from a bat origin.
So when you were getting into that climate change discussion, are you suggesting, Keith, that you think that there is, because we often call it the climate change cult, right? That this is a religion for a lot of people, especially younger people, that this is actually, is there a motive that you're suggesting that the release of an engineered coronavirus, claiming that it came from an animal jump to humans, is a reason to sort of lock down deforestation, human spread into currently unpopulated areas, advancing the climate?
Well, that's cult. Those are Peter Daszak's words, not mine. Those are actually his words in the interview.
Right, right. So you're saying that this could be one of the motives behind why you would release an engineered virus on the world?
I don't think they released it. I do believe it was an accident.
All right.
I also, and I have good reason to believe that, but I also know that it was bioengineered. Peter Daszak, in that interview that you just played from, and Charlie, you played that clip, actually talks about it coming out of a lab. Mm-hmm. But the thing is,
and one second, Keith, just for our audience, there's a clip that we've played, and I don't think we have it loaded for this, but there's a clip that we've played where he explains how easy it is to engineer coronaviruses. He sort of brags about it. This was, I believe, in December of 2019 or October of 2019.
It was in December of 2019.
Yeah, and he's sitting there in a panel bragging about it.
Well, his comment actually was, well, it's because it was being asked on a panel, and he said, well, it's kind of difficult in the wild, but it's quite easy to make in the lab. And so he kind of let the cat out of the bag. But to tie it to climate change, it is a cult, but it's a cult of it's a cult of money, power, and greed. It's not a cult of people that love the climate.
Right. Not
it's
true
a
believers.
Way to disperse right. yeah. finances from the government. What I found out in digging through this and with my past life and other things is that the government funds multiple middlemen, small to large nonprofits, with giant amounts of financing. And they have to get that financing through the legislature. So what better way to do it than to get it through for medical, SARS-CoV, for climate change, big amounts of money for COVID relief. In fact, Peter Daszak in his interview states that his first decent grant came from Obama's Restore America back when they were coming out of the financial crisis. They got a grant that actually helped them during that time. And it's also important to note that Ron Klain's wife is one of the top climate change, lobbyists or people. That's her passion. That's what she works in. You can look that up.
And so what people have to realize, what Keith is talking about here with Ron Klain, Ron Klain is the chief of staff. And so Joe Biden's not in charge. We know that. So Ron Klain is as close to someone as being in charge as anyone of the whole government, every agency. That goes to the EPA, that goes to the IRS, that goes to the NIH, the NIAID. And so it's really important we start to talk about him. And what's been amazing, Keith, is back during the Obama years, we used to talk about Valerie Jarrett a lot. There hasn't been a lot
Ron
of attention.
Manuel too. Yeah.
There hasn't been a lot of attention on Ron Klain. I don't think he's done any press events. So talk more about this EcoHealth Alliance. It's an NGO, right, Keith?
It is. And they say they're a nonprofit. And the interesting thing, and again, I'm paraphrasing directly from Peter Daszak. The average nonprofit that gets government grants gets about 10% in government grants. And I sent you the clip on this. And he's asked, well, how do you do? And he said, well, we get 80% of our money from government grants.
Wow.
And he before he says that, he talks about how hard it is to get grants, and they receive 80% of their funding from your taxpayer dollars. And they have their offices in downtown Manhattan.
So Keith, walk us through then as in the moment as we can be. Why the push for mass vaccinations? Why the continual doubling down of masks? What does Fauci want? What is the motive here? How is Gates involved? These are questions we're getting. How do we navigate all of that?
Charlie, the best way to do it is to start out at 100,000 feet. If you understand the initial premise is that this is a global cabal network, and it's easy to see when you go to EcoHealth Alliance and look at their executives and advisors, when you go to the Mitre Corporation, M-I-T-R-E, and I'll explain that from this email, and look at their advisors and their executives. These are all people that work in the government or formerly in the government or formerly in the DOD. And the Mitre, a lady from the Mitre Corporation, actually reached out to Dr. Fauci early in March, offering him funding for a vaccine, helping to hook him into a World Bank or an International Monetary Fund. And everything focuses around the global economy, global financial networks. Have you noticed how it takes I think Obama's former chief of staff said it best when he said, you never let a crisis go to waste. Well, these people generate crisis, and that crisis causes Congress tag money and place it towards that crisis. And these guys distribute it to these big companies EcoHealth Alliance.
And so, Keith, I want to dive into something that you said, and then I want Andrew to talk about this, because this is a debate right now. And I want you to tell us why you believe this, and I trust your wisdom on this. I just want to reinforce this. Keith has been right about everything this last year. When everyone was going one way, Keith said this, and it ended up being right. You said, no, don't focus on vaccines, focus on therapeutics. You said, you know what? This hydroxychloroquine thing is worth talking about. And so, Keith, you have a lot of credibility on this. Why do you think it was accidentally released if you think there is a crisis manufacturing industry out there? Why wouldn't we believe that this was released intentionally?
That's a great question.
To try to usher in all this other stuff?
It's a good question. My information from contacts I have overseas, and we knew about this back in November of 2019, think that it was accidentally released. But what you're not seeing, but you can find on the CDC website, is that the BSL-4 labs, they had one in Beijing, had already been fined by the CDC and World Health Organization for letting these pathogens out. So they knew the handling was sloppy to begin with. So this could have been intentional malfeasance where they thought this would probably happen due to the processes and procedures. I try to be as factual as possible. It could have been deliberately released, Charlie, but I can tell you, everything after the release of this has been a lie.
Yes.
From how to treat it, how to respond to it, and how to vaccinate against it.
Well, yeah, and also, Keith, I think you're right in the sense to give a reinforcement to your argument. The Chinese did not react like they were ready for this. They didn't. They seem to be more ready than most, but it seemed as if they were concocting this in gain of function research for whatever reason, and then it got out. Now, that's hard for some
Charlie, real quick, to that point, there's something very important about the Chinese and Peter Daszak. Peter Daszak was on a joint U.S.-Chinese biochemical paper and panel that was supported by EcoHealth Alliance, and I can send it to you. It was in 2015. One of the scientists on there was a guy named Wu Cheng Cao. He is the number two bioweapons expert in China in the People's Liberation Party or Army or whatever, the PLA, the People's Army, the Chinese Army. He is a colonel in the Chinese Army, and he is also was on the commission with Peter Daszak when Peter Daszak said the virus did not come from a lab origin. So he's working with the number two guy in the Chinese Army. In fact, that's reported by the Epoch Times. They didn't tie him to Peter Daszak, but they did talk about that gentleman. But you can see that guy has worked with Peter Daszak on papers funded by EcoHealth Alliance. So when you're talking about the Chinese Army, I think that they were planning at some point. They've had a lot of previous literature. You can look at unrestricted warfare. They had a plan in place. In fact, if you look at Event 201 about the, quote, plandemic, when Bill Gates funded at Johns Hopkins in October of 2019, an entire 2 to 3 day conference on how to prepare for a coronavirus pandemic. And the interesting thing about that is someone from one of these big government corporations, their publicist stood up, and I sent you that cut, Andrew,
yep,
about what he had to say. Yeah, about we'll how play they that. Were going to use social media.
Well, no, and I love this, Keith. I want to take one step back, though, because explain event 201 in sort of layman's terms. So, and then we'll get that clip ready to play when you're done.
Event 201 was at the Johns Hopkins, and I believe it was at the Chan School of Medicine or the Foundation. I have to go back and look at my notes.
This is October 2019.
2019, and it brought in quote unquote experts and panelists that you had to be invited, and they actually performed a pandemic exercise. They had pre-recorded news reports from news stations saying there was an outbreak. This is on video. And those news stations were all had Chinese newscasters. The outbreak that they were planning for was a coronavirus outbreak, and how they would respond, not medically, but to, quote, misinformation that might be put out during that time that would hinder actual help for the virus.
Okay. So event 201, October of 2019. This is about when the first reports, and I'm having our team fact check it, on when that Wall Street Journal said the first three lab workers got sick. It was November of 19. So this is October. We find out November that three get sick. That's the first. That was the bombshell report that really added a lot of credence to the lab leak theory. All right, so let's go ahead and play clip the event 201 clip.
We're at a moment where the social media platforms have to step forward and recognize the moment to assert that they're a technology platform and not a broadcaster is over. They, in fact, have to be a participant in broadcasting accurate information and partnering with the scientific and health communities to counterweight, if not flood the zone, of accurate information. Because to put the genie back in the bottle of the misinformation and disinformation is nigh impossible.
All right. So, again, that's October 2019, them prepping for a coronavirus outbreak or some sort of pandemic. They were doing a pandemic exercise. And this was the communication head of Johns Hopkins. Is that what you're saying?
No, this is the public relations. This is one of those Manhattan public relations managers that was invited. But he's talking about the canceling on Facebook and the fact checkers before we even had them.
Flooding.
He's talking
zone.
About how they're going to take care of that information on Facebook and Twitter. He's saying that they have to go from publishers to broadcasters. He steps out and says it a good 7 months before they actually started doing it.
Wow.
So Keith, help us understand. Just it seems as if whether it was intentional or not, it came out, and we know that the virus, and we know that then once it came out, there was opportunists. And there were liars and people that wanted a certain agenda once it came out, whether they thought they could get mail-in voting, mass vaccinations that I want to ask you about, whether they thought they could change the perspective of public health and make people submit to these public health authorities. And so whether even the emails between Fauci and Zuckerberg and how the social media companies have been colluding in all of this. So can you tell our viewers, give them some peace of mind of where this agenda leads and what we need to do to fight back against it. We're an action-oriented show, as you know, because a lot of people are scared. Their kids are being forced to get vaccinated. Where does this go?
Well, Charlie, I think what you said is so important. People need to understand what the vaccination is, and more importantly, what is it, just like with coronavirus. We now have a year of understanding that the same people that are telling us to vaccinate are the same people that told us to wear masks when we shouldn't have, to lock down when it was tragic and caused the deaths of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, we're going to find out, across the world. And they're the same people that tried to hide the origins of the virus in the first place. And these people all work together with several of these different vaccine companies. Moderna works directly with Dr. Fauci. He has emails from Pfizer and he has emails from other companies in here. So when they're telling us to take a vaccine, there's an email early on, and I won't go deep into it, but Dr. Fauci, it's a personal email, and he advises someone in mid to late March that the coronavirus is not dangerous to anyone unless you're over 65 with comorbid conditions. That's what Dr. Fauci, so how did he change from that when he was telling everyone to put on masks to now? They don't need the vaccine because if you read the vaccine label, it's not a vaccine. And now Joe Biden is offering.
Well, so what do you mean by that, Keith?
Yeah.
Because that's.
Yeah, sure.
What do you mean by that? A lot of people are going to say, whoa, what?
Yeah. A vaccine is designed. When you give someone a vaccine like smallpox, it's to allow your body to recognize that disease with a lower dose or a deattenuated dose, something that's not dangerous, so that you build up antibodies so that you won't have a problem when you get infected. That's what they did for smallpox, even back at, you know, the Revolutionary War. This vaccine is a synthetic modified vaccine that's not a vaccine. It by the vaccine own paperwork and insert, it does not prevent you from getting the coronavirus. It only, quote, lessens the symptoms. Well, there are medications out there that lessen viral symptoms. We don't call them vaccines. And there's never been a time in the nation's history where we have tried to induce a population through free Uber rides. Joe Biden just announced beer. They're going to give people a beer if they go get a vaccine. To get a vaccine for a disease that, by Dr. Fauci's own words, doesn't affect over 90%+ of the population. And we now know it doesn't, and we know it's treatable with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. And so what everyone is trying to get their head around, and I think I understand this, is why did we develop a vaccine in the first place? Well, we wouldn't be able to get that EUA, that emergency use authorization, to push a vaccine forward so fast. And it's written in the government regulations if there was an effective treatment for coronavirus. And this might explain why Dr. Fauci and several people on the Lancet committee, which Peter Daszak is also on that committee.
Oh, really?
And several others.
And by the way, just Keith, these are the same medical journals that are supposed to be the most prestigious, but that were completely, I would say, exposed when they had to pull their anti-HCQ studies, right? So they published these studies, I don't know, about June last year, basically saying HCQ will kill people.
They were pulled 2 weeks later.
Yes. I mean, these are supposed to be the preeminent journals. Medical journals in the world, really, and they had to pull these anti-HCQ studies. But the damage was done. Everybody, I mean, mainstream news media from CNN, MSNBC, they had their loaded weapon. They could bludgeon HCQ to death. Meanwhile, HCQ is super cheap, doesn't have any of the patents, etc., right? I mean, I just want to make sure our audience understands.
Well, that and ivermectin, you can get ivermectin at a veterinarian's supply place. The bigger thing about this is they did it, and they pulled back the article, but the damage was done. In Dr. Fauci's emails, he's actually interviewed and says there's asymptomatic spread. And emails that the guy that publishes it, after he published it, said, "Oh, I misspoke. There's no asymptomatic spread." There's a pattern here of getting the narrative out, and then a few days later, after the public reacts, correcting the narrative, but the media and the damage is done, and no one puts a bright spotlight on it. And that's what we need to do right now to get back to Charlie, is we need to put light on the situation. People need to ask questions. That's not conspiracy. That's part of this nation. We should be able to ask questions. We need to hold our leaders responsible and our media responsible. There is serious malfeasance in social media. The fact checkers that were practicing medicine without a license, you know, they're not interviewing people that have lost loved ones to suicide, to depression, to overdose, what we saw with these lockdowns. And I believe there's hope for our nation because we're not Europe. We're not a nation founded from serfdom to the palace. We were a nation built by pioneers, people that took risk and believed in that their rights and their freedoms came from God, and they weren't bestowed on them by any man. And I still believe we're a nation that understands that. It's just a small number of people. And if you look at all these groups, you'll see the same names appear over and over, the same ties to the same school of whatever, the same government school of whatever, or the same nonprofit. They all are an incestuous loop of almost parasites that feed off that big organism in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right, Keith, in closing, I know that we're tight on time. What are the action steps that need to be taken here?
The action steps, number one, are get involved at a county level to make sure lockdowns and these unconstitutional edicts aren't done again. And that there's a lot of good organizations out there. We can talk about it another time to do that. Second thing is you need to hold your elected representatives accountable and wear them out as far as no vaccine passports, no vaccine mandates. I mean, they're making our military, all of them, get this vaccine. And by some reports, that's a national security crisis, because we're seeing a lot of side effects from this vaccine. To put it in perspective, Charlie, at 180 million influenza vaccines, I believe they had 60 adverse events. Mm-hmm. On a voluntary reporting system, we've had over 7,700 deaths at roughly 80 million doses of this vaccine. They stopped the swine flu vaccine at 53 deaths. They stopped giving it. So why are we pushing a vaccine that's not a vaccine, experimental technology that's unproven and has a people use numbers like, well, there's not that many dead. We stopped the swine flu vaccine at 73 deaths. We're at 7,700 that are admittedly connected to these vaccines, and we haven't stopped it yet. And it's totally treatable. Anyone under the age of 65 without problems shouldn't even think about it. And I wouldn't, you know, it's your choice, but you should understand it's, you're not taking a vaccine. You're taking someone's idea of what might help.
Keith, really quick on that. We get tons and tons of emails about this aspect in particular, that it's an mRNA vaccine or quote unquote vaccine. A lot of confusion what that means, how it affects your own DNA, or does it at all? Can you explain that at all?
Sure. In 10 seconds, it goes into the cells. It enters into the cell and creates the spike protein, which is what caused most of the damage in this virus. The problem is it goes into the endothelial cells of your blood vessels and creates a spike protein that starts collecting things from your bloodstream. I'm not going to get down into the details, but it can collect antigens and you can actually react to yourself. If they come out with a booster, it can make it even worse. And this spike protein and the way they attached it in the original coronavirus that they bioengineered was in use of a P shuttle gene or P3 shuttle gene. And it was interesting because Charlie read that email the other day about the P framework when Dr. Fauci was asking whether it had any P framework. That was reported on in January of 2020 when scientists over in Europe did a genomic sequence of this virus and found it, and they knew it was man-made, yet everyone ignored the research.
Yeah, we went really hard after Francis Collins, who I don't consider to be a good person, but he's hid behind this idea of being, you know, an ethical guy who runs NIH. And it's so funny. He testified in May of 2020. He said, no way of knowing if coronavirus escaped from Wuhan lab. He said, quote, nature created this virus and has proven once again to be the most effective bioterrorist. Now, because of these emails, we know his own department knew that wasn't true. His own subordinates. And he said that publicly.
That's Peter Daszak writing that. Peter Daszak has said that. We know that it's an effective bioterrorist nature. That's like Peter Daszak speaking through him.
These guys are all so corrupt. Keith, you're a good man. You've been right about so much, and you're going to be right about more. Dr. Keith Rose, check out the Scalpel Podcast. Thanks so much, Keith.
Y'all be safe. Good seeing you guys.
Thanks.
Thanks, Keith.
Head high, protest line. Freedom scribbled on your sign. Headline, New York Times. Standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey. Your secret's safe with the NSA. And God we trust, or the CIA. Standing on the edge of a revolution.
The Scalpel with Dr. Keith Rose.
The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bone's Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge, email kfr@scalpeledge.com, or the website scalpeledge.com.